Welcome to On Strategy Showcase. I'm Fergus O'Carroll in Chicago. Our Live from Dublin event on May 29th is actually sold out. I wanted to thank our sponsors, analytic partners, Guinness and LinkedIn, and the support of the Marketing Institute of Ireland, the Marketing Society of Ireland, and the Institute for Advertising Practitioners in Ireland. That's IAPI. Really appreciate having all of those on board. For those who asked, I wish we could do a second night, but unfortunately we can't. But I promise, assuming it all goes well, that I'll be back at some point in the future. I'm also excited to announce our new partnership with the brilliant folks at the Account Planning Group, the APG, in London. We've agreed to produce a series that showcases some of the best creative strategy award-winning campaigns of the last 30 years. Now, we've done a few of them. I think we did it last year. We did VW last year. We did the classic Citibank campaign, the Live Richly campaign, and they were enormously popular. So I'm really excited that we're going to get to do this on an even larger scale. So starting in June, we're going to roll out periodic episodes on classic strategy cases from the likes of The Economist, Levi's, Honda, British Airways, Bird's Eye, Sprite, Sainsbury's, Kit Kat, Direct Line, and a number of others. And some of these go back as far as the 1990s, but they're all still among the best timeless strategic thinking and strategic cases. And if you were the planner on the client or the client on one of them, I hope you'll accept a message from me in the near future to see if you want to come on the show and be a part of it. So thanks to APG's Sarah Newman and to APG co-chairs this year, Martin Beverly and Emily Harlock, for the partnership. And we'll talk more as we get closer to releasing those episodes. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us on the show or supporting our show, you can download our sponsor kit on our homepage at OnStrategyShowcase.com or reach out to us directly at hello@OnStrategyShowcase.com. Here's a clip from today's episode.
We looked at the way that companies talk about themselves internally, you know, their internal comms, how their CEOs express who they are and what they stand for. And we defined a number of other sort of forces that would drive up to a bigger convention that we defined as the destination matters more than the stay. And that convention is something that the marketplace seems to tell us. So when we look around us, it feels like there's a truth that the destination matters more than the stay. And that is not a truthful thing, because actually a stay will make or break a trip.
That's James Soudan, Chief Strategy Officer at TBWA Chiat Day in New York. He's joined by Dan Reynolds, SVP Global Content and Partnerships at Hilton. Their campaign is For the Stay. It's designed to disrupt the sea of sameness in the category by challenging the prevailing wisdom that the destination matters more than the stay. The interesting wrinkle in all of this is that Hilton is not only a hotel property brand, it's a master brand across a wide portfolio of hotels like Hampton, Garden Inn, the Doubletree. I love those cookies at the Doubletree, Embassy Suites, and luxury hotels, including the Waldorf Astoria, etc. And the master brand Hilton wants to play an active role in the marketing of the entire portfolio. It's a classic case for David Akers, who many of you may remember. His book, Managing Brand Equity, I was kind of glued to that in the early 2000s. It's a great book that talks about how do you manage portfolios of brands. So it's a fun conversation with tons of good unlocks. I hope you enjoy it. This is Hilton For the Stay. Enjoy. How about we start off, Dan, with a general sense for those who are not really familiar with the Hilton portfolio of brands, because the portfolio, I think, is pretty key here to the strategy. Can you tell us a little bit about what the portfolio is and the scope of it?
Of course. Thanks, Fergus. So, you know, Hilton is a global hospitality company, and our portfolio of brands is over 22 world-class brands and more coming. That incorporate over 7,500 properties, which is about 1.2 million rooms in 126 countries around the world. So really, truly have a product for every stay occasion within our overall portfolio.
It's interesting, James, to look at these sort of portfolios of brands, because there really is, as Dan has said, there's this stay for all occasions. Now, what does that begin to mean from a corporate branding perspective? Because you could talk about it as being a house of brands, or it could be a branded house. It's almost as if what we're going to talk about today is trying to be a blend of both of those.
I guess we sit somewhere in the middle of those two models, to my mind. And I think, you know, the important strategic decision that was made was that equity would be built into the Hilton brand, and that over time we would build an architecture that allows that equity to be distributed across all of our other important product brands, as Dan was talking about. So it's a long-term strategy, and I guess we're kind of one or two steps into it, so there'll be lots more to come on that. But as Dan said, really building the perception of Hilton and building trust into that name is the first and most important step, and I guess that's what we're going to talk about more today.
When the client came to the agency, James, what was the challenge that they put in front of you guys?
Well, they came to us during the pandemic, and I guess we don't need to talk in much detail at all about the impact that the pandemic had on the category. But what was super fascinating is we got together as a group of agencies and Hilton in the summer of 2021. And it's like a meeting that will like stand out in my memory forever, because we all had to sit at desks 6 feet apart. And it was there were so many of us that actually it took up two ballrooms in one of the Hiltons in DC. And we each had a microphone. So it felt a bit more like a meeting of the United Nations.
Yeah.
But it was amazing because the CMO, Mark Weinstein, stood up and just very clearly said, I don't want to emerge from the pandemic. I want to break out of it, and I want to disrupt the category. And I couldn't have written that brief better myself. So we were super inspired by that. And I guess that's really where the other kind of parts of the ask kind of came from. So the demand coming out of that question, you know, how do we disrupt the category, is to understand what the category is, to look at the conventions that exist in it, and to understand how they're holding us back. You know, Mark quite specifically referred to the fact that whenever you look at travel advertising, and specifically hotel advertising, it looks the same, it feels the same, and they're all operating in the same spaces. And so really he wanted us to very clearly take a step away from that and be disruptive. As part of being disruptive, there's sort of two things that you need to think about. First of all, if you're going to break the conventions, how do you do it in a way that is distinctive? How can you be distinctive in a world of consistency where everybody is looking the same? And then how can you be truthful to yourself? And I think that's where we got super excited, because Hilton's got this wonderful heritage. You know, it's founded by an amazing human being, Conrad Hilton, who just had a lovely vision for his organization. And that was to fill the earth with the light and warmth of hospitality. And, you know, not only is that lovely language, it's a noble cause. And I think the world needs noble causes like that. So we kind of started the whole process by going back to Conrad and his thinking on how hospitality might be able to, you know, change the world.
So I'm curious, Dan, when James talks about Mark's desire to disrupt, that proposition is tough to do on one brand, let alone the many brands that are in the portfolio. Was there the sense that the entire portfolio needed to be disrupted in the same way, or was it about Hilton to begin with, the property?
It starts with Hilton as a brand. And sort of as we build that meaning into, you know, we're going out to the world and making a bold statement. That's a very simple statement. We're Hilton and we're for the stay. And so not only did we give ourselves the challenge to be disruptive, but we gave ourselves the challenge to be disruptive against something that was so simple and true. And so then I think when you start to bring yourself back to that simple statement that we're Hilton and we're for the stay, how you show up with any of the brands in our portfolio or the products and services that we offer, you know, you do have an anchor point to look back to and say, okay, if I'm being disruptive, I always know who I am. And it's that simple statement that we're Hilton for the stay. So I think, well, it starts with Hilton, and that's what we've been working towards over the last, you know, 18 months since launching the brand platform. It's shown up in the way we've brought some of our brands to market and the way that we talk about our brands in sort of the messaging and communication strategy that we've applied to this program.
When Mark makes this proclamation, James, how did he articulate it? I mean, he wanted to disrupt, but what did he think it meant to disrupt?
Well, he used the phrase sea of sameness. And it's a phrase that we use quite often, I think, in the disruption process. But it was really truthful for this category, because the sea of sameness in hotel advertising was swimming pools, azure oceans, beaches. Like, it was literally a sea of sameness. And I think very, very specifically, he wanted us to not behave like that anymore. And I think to your previous question, we built a disruptive idea for Hilton, the master brand, but we built some guiding principles for all the brands in our portfolio, which is to not focus on the sea of sameness that the category does. So no matter which brand we talk about, we operate in a way that pulls ourselves out of that.
These are basically marketing and branding principles, right? It's not necessarily how they operate.
Yeah. So Mark's specific ask was related to the category advertising, really. And I think we then went away and, you know, took it upon ourselves to define what other conventions exist around the category. So we looked at culture, we looked at audience, we looked at the way that companies talk about themselves internally, you know, their internal comms, how their CEOs express who they are and what they stand for. And we defined a number of other sort of forces that would drive up to a bigger convention that we defined as the destination matters more than the stay. And that convention is something that the marketplace seems to tell us. So when we look around us, it feels like there's a truth that the destination matters more than the stay. And that is not a truthful thing, because actually a stay will make or break a trip.
So it's interesting, because when I look at the way Airbnb used to articulate its distinction, it was almost the opposite of that, because they sort of presented an Airbnb as being a place that was outside of the business district, outside of the heavy tourist area of a city or an area. It was more in where people lived, and they were sort of the culture. So you were in essence doing a twist on that. So was it also with that in mind that you made your decisions?
Yeah, very purposefully. And Dan and I talk about this quite a lot. You know, home sharing has brought this perspective that when you travel, you can go and live in a different way and be accepted. And to me, that almost puts a bit of pressure on you. You know, your vacation is about going to another country and behaving in a way that maybe isn't necessarily natural to a vacation behavior, which is, you know, about enjoyment and rest and recuperation and all those sorts of things. So I think that was quite purposefully one of the sort of cultural observations that we had that informed this bigger convention. But yes, we believe that the stay should be whatever you need it to be. If you want excess in your stay, if you want rest in your stay, if you want to watch TV and eat a club sandwich in bed in your stay, all of those things are great and okay. And Hilton will be there to deliver those for you.
When it comes down to looking at all of these properties, all of them have a unique experience. And just for the listeners who don't know, I mean, part of your portfolio is Hampton, DoubleTree, Embassy Suites, Garden Inn. You also, on the other end, have Waldorf Astoria, Conrad, Canopy in Paris. So it's a wide portfolio. What's what's the commonality? What's the distinction of the stay? Because stay is a category benefit that you've got to very quickly own, unless you have very unique aspects to your stay that is different than a Marriott stay. So how do you manage for owning the definition of what a stay is or the value of a stay?
Yeah, it's a very good question. You know, my first boss used to say that there was a bit of a kind of misnomer in advertising and marketing that you shouldn't claim a category benefit. And actually, if you look at a lot of the world's biggest brands with their sort of most famous brand ideas, you'll see that they really do claim a category benefit. They just claim it first and they claim it well, and then they make it distinctive. So athleticism, which is Nike's kind of category benefit, could have been claimed by anybody, but they claimed it really well first. And when we looked around us at the marketplace and saw just how similar everybody had become, it was evident to us that if we reached for the single truth about the category that everybody'd forgotten and reclaimed it and pulled it to ourselves as hard as we could, that we could stand for this notion that staying matters. And that's really where it all came from. We then did a lot of work, Fergus. Dan and I spent many hours in workshops trying to understand how we then make that distinctive. So what are the assets that we build around it, whether they be visual, whether they be design, whether they be audio, that allow us to build a set of memory structures around this thought for the stay that truly becomes memorable and consistently associated with us. And we've already seen since we've done that, that other people are sort of moving back to the middle and starting to talk more about the stay. Our competitors are responding to this. But I think because we've been so absolute about it, and I have to like really congratulate Dan and his team for this, because we've been so absolute about claiming for the stay, it is going to be very difficult for anybody else to come in and do it better than we have done, or we are doing, or we will continue to do.
We'll be right back.
Hi there, my name's James Herman, and I'm what's known as a distinctive asset, which is something that makes people think immediately of a certain brand, like the Golden Arches make people think of McDonald's, or the Swoosh makes people think of Nike. When the most effective marketing and advertising people hear me, they think of the Master of Advertising Effectiveness brand. The Master of Advertising Effectiveness is a 6-week online program in partnership with WARC, where I'll give you a next level understanding of how to make advertising that creates consistently better commercial results. One important ingredient is distinctive assets, like me. And me being here on this ad is one of the many reasons this campaign is
the most effective advertising campaign in the world.
Confused? You won't be when you become a Master of Advertising Effectiveness. Get started at mae.academy. That's mae.academy.
Now back to the show. When you talk about the destination matters more than the stay, and that being a misnomer, is it the fact that the category and what you actually, is it in fact what you're going to do and what you're trying to showcase is the property itself, not the place where the property sits? So it's all about the experience inside the property lines of that particular Hilton property. Is that how you create that distinction?
That's certainly one of the elements. You know, as Dan said, like the stay is a more rounded thing than that, because it includes the care that our people provide. It includes the thoughtfully designed spaces that we have. And yes, it does include the locations and the destination that they're in, but it's the totality of that that's important. And it's what it brings to you that's important. And I think that everybody lost that kind of really what's beautiful about the stay is hospitality. Everybody lost that. Everybody was simply talking about where the hotels were located. And in fact, I'm sure you will have seen this yourself. There are many hotel ads where you'll see the hotel, but you're looking out the window of it, or you're looking off the balcony, or you're looking at the swimming pool.
Yeah, that's right.
Those things aren't distinctive or differentiated. We all have windows and balconies and swimming pools.
I've always said that the apparently, according to the ads, the best way to experience a Viking river tour is from the sky. They don't even show the boat. You're like, it's just, you're up in the sky. I'm like, well, wow, that, Are you suggesting I fly a plane? But it is true. I mean, for me personally, if we're going to go on a vacation, or and we've maybe got a couple of different hotels that are being considered, I absolutely will pay attention to the photographs of the property itself. I'm not swayed by the exterior. I'm very much swayed by the interior, the photographs that showcase the property, obviously my impression of the brand. But it's a big deal for me that the actual place that I'm staying at is going to be the center of the experience, because I'm not a person who's going to go out and have an adventure. I want the stay at that property to be the highlight of my time, no matter where it is. So I totally see that distinction between leveraging the location versus leveraging the property, where in essence I am staying and I'm going to spend most of my time. And it has been played with in really interesting ways.
Then I think we have another job on top of that, Fergus, which is to bake in what the feeling of a Hilton stay is when you are looking at those photographs of the interior. We want you to already have a predisposition to those photographs, because you understand the feeling that you're going to get when you're truly cared for at a Hilton property.
I'm curious, as this campaign began to roll out, Dan, it appeared from an outsider looking in that it almost had a couple of phases. The first phase, I'd love some clarity on this. The first phase seemed to play off the line, it matters where you stay, and there were some pointed executions there, and then it seemed to evolve beyond that to just leaning in on the stay. Am I confusing that? I'm not saying that it matters where you stay. It matters where you stay was a line. It wasn't the tagline. The tagline has always been for the stay. But was there a phase one and then a phase two?
Not so much a phased approach, but we did purposely launch the brand platform Hilton for the Stay with our first campaign, which was It Matters Where You Stay, which was designed to and still aims to be, a relatable and human way of reminding people that the heart of every great trip is a great stay. I mean, you said it so beautifully in terms of your own personal experience. And that proclamation, we did go out purposefully in our initial launch, very loud and very clear, and using, in our strategy, a distinct set of channels to sort of cement that message. It matters where you stay. And then from there, when we looked at sort of the disruptive nature of understanding audiences and communities and what they were talking about in certain moments, we then did, sort of start to, around the edges, expand the way we talked about the stay, or the way that the stay was showing up in much more subtle ways, even in, our hotel level content and how we go out and shoot photography or video around a hotel, about a hotel, and how the stay and the principles that, make a great stay were showing up. Instead of an empty pool, it's a pool full of people actually enjoying that pool and, coming together with our team members, and you feel like you were there. And so there are places where, you start to see us bring the stay to life in slightly different ways, but we're still very much in this first mode of making that proclamation of it really does matter where you stay.
What do you mean the connecting rooms were not confirmed?
Exactly, not confirmed. But they're super close, though. There's just a courtyard in between them. Well, actually, it's an alley, but nobody lives in it anymore, so that's cool.
Go ahead and lock the door.
What?
When you want your kids in a room that's actually connecting...
Lock the door!
Why would I lock the door?
It matters where you stay. Hilton for the Stay.
Huh. They look different online.
Jeez. Wow, that's a lot of rolls.
When you prefer dream vacation over a rental nightmare...
Let's get you checked in.
It matters where you stay. Hilton for the Stay.
This is the hotel breakfast.
It looked different online.
Do you children like eggs? Here, they make your bones grow.
It'll be fine. It's gonna be fine.
All right, guys. Look alive.
Is it fine, Daryl?
I'm starving.
When free hot breakfast can make or break your day, it matters where you stay.
Go get 'em.
Hampton by Hilton. Hilton for the stay.
I remember a number of years ago, I worked on Ford Motor Company, and I've talked about it on the show a number of times. And I worked on Ford Motor Company, the corporate umbrella brand, at a time when Jack Nasser was CEO, and they owned Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury. But ironically, they also owned Jaguar, Land Rover. They owned Volvo, and I'm probably forgetting another one. But they had this mix of brands, not unlike what you guys have. And so the question was, these were all at one point independent brands before they were bought or merged into Ford Motor Company. But there was tension, because my goal as part of the strategy team on that was to figure out, how do we make all these brands work together, and how do they play in a similar sandbox, and when do certain brands not play and when do others play together? But there was frustration in some of these brands about being associated with Ford. It represented something that was different than what a Land Rover would stand for. And I'm just curious, have you faced that same sort of internal sort of not resistance, but you've got to help rationalize to some of the more luxury brands in your portfolio that you have the Hilton name associated with them? So talk us through how you've helped that process in bringing one brand into another brand space overtly.
Yeah, I mean, the great news is, Hilton is a brand that is so highly regarded. We have a tremendous amount of trust for our brand. We have a high level of awareness for our brand, and we have a high level of consideration for our brand. So when you think about the strength of the Hilton brand, from the work we've done to date, it's only been a net positive when that brand has been associated with another brand in the portfolio. And so what has been so exciting is, as we have, sort of built this brand platform now, Hilton for the Stay, it's given us this opportunity to take that even further and truly build meaning into the stay in a way that I think is adding value, and is showing in the data to add value to the Hilton brand as well as the whole portfolio. And so you do start to see this halo effect that starts to happen. And so the stronger that brand platform ultimately is, the stronger that the, sort of the sum of the parts of our portfolio of brands will become over time.
You've done Hampton sort of co-branded spots, TV spots with Garden Inn and with Hampton and with Doubletree, where it's very overt, the connection with Hilton. But I assume we're not going to see, because, obviously Waldorf isn't a mass market brand. Does it get treated differently? I got to assume there's no plans to have a spot that's going to include the Waldorf, that the Waldorf presence is probably more operational and systems presence rather than being overt. In the same way Ford wasn't associating itself with Jaguar or Land Rover in its advertising.
Well, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we're building a kind of world of distinctive assets around For the Stay, Fergus. And it's something that Dan and I are actively working on right now. And what we're trying to devise is which of those distinctive assets are associated with which kinds of brands and why, and how does that benefit net positive both of the brands in each of those situations. So you're going to see different ways that equity is transferred. You're going to see different ways that those brands are associated. But I think what we can't forget is that our three luxury brands are actually incredibly powerful, strong brands.
Yep.
And so the way that they interact with Hilton needs to be incredibly thoughtful because they're so strong. So it's less about whether Hilton has an impact on them. It's more about how do we continue to elevate these very specific, very beautiful brands in the way that is right for them. So as you said, you'll see different kinds of advertising, different kinds of marketing material that associate those two brands, depending on whether you're talking about luxury, whether you're talking about lifestyle, whether you're talking about more kinds of value brands, which are also incredibly important.
I've come across this, ironically, in the last 2 weeks as we've been recording a bunch of shows. We've had some brands on that are legacy brands. I know Smirnoff was one of them. We talked about this, and I talked about it again yesterday. I think what we can't forget is that there is a whole new generation of potential customers for legacy brands that weren't even in the category 10 years ago. So people like myself who have an embedded sense are biased to that, where it may not be the way everybody thinks about it now. So it's not about changing the perception of Hilton, it's building it where it may not currently exist at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, because of Hilton's strength and because Hilton, you know, is a brand that started with a clear mission, had a and has a lot of swagger to it, it isn't necessarily changing perception. It's about introducing the best parts of our brand and our portfolio brands to this new audience. And the way in which we do that is the different part.
Anything you'd add to that, James?
We've identified, and it'll be obvious, really, it's kind of common sense, that younger audiences see this category in a very different way. They've grown up in a world where home sharing is actually just an accepted part of the category, where for sort of older folks like ourselves, that was something that was quite new to us. So yes, we are building a new sense of what staying means for those younger audiences, but we're also kind of building a sense of what hospitality means, because hospitality doesn't exist in all parts of the category. So yes, we're building a new sense of Hilton. But I think, as Dan said, we've had some really exciting forays into new channels and new formats. And I mean, as an example, the 10-minute TikTok that we produced with a bevy of fantastic influencers, including Paris, is just a wonderful example of how flexible a thought like this can be and how powerful it can be when you start to storytell it in innovative ways.
How do you go about, James, tracking this? Because when it has such global reach and you need to make sure that it's being interpreted the same way or in the way that it's supposed to be interpreted market by market, how are you going about tracking it? What are the sort of key brand KPIs that you look at in order to ensure that you're headed in the right direction?
Well, it's all been made a lot easier by the fact that Hilton are a very rigorous organization. And I genuinely mean that. They have a lot of research studies in place, and they've been very kind of open and collaborative with us to influence those, Fergus. So we've put a number of new measures into their brand tracking that assess people's perspective on staying and what it means to them. So we'll genuinely be able to track over time how people's perspective of staying versus going has changed, which is really quite fascinating. I mean, then underneath that, we have all of the sort of slightly more expected attributes. You know, this is a brand for someone like me. This is the sort of brand I'd recommend. Those are always very important leading indicators. And then underneath that, again, there's a host of much more functional things that Hilton track on an ongoing basis and that we've worked with them on. They also share all of that data with us, which makes our lives a lot easier. And they do a lot of sort of statistical modeling, so we can evidence, and Dan can add to this because he's probably more expert in it than I, but we can model the return on investment from every marketing dollar that is spent. So really the effectiveness approach is rigorous. And that makes me as a geeky planner, very happy.
The campaign has been out for, is it 24 months roughly? And I'm just curious, is there anything that you can share about the results, both in terms of the business and in terms of the brand?
All the metrics we're looking at, Fergus, are going in the right direction, like quite consistently. Unaided awareness is up, aided awareness is up, consideration is up. You know, it's all going in the right direction. As Dan said, I think some of the really interesting kind of more nuanced signals we're getting, whether it's from, you know, unbranded search or whether it's from social, are also moving in the right direction. So I think we're hugely encouraged, hugely encouraged. I think we also accept that, you know, this is the first big step we've taken and we have many more to take. And we have so much opportunity ahead, which is incredibly exciting. But one can't help but feel ever so slightly daunted because we've set a high bar that we need to keep delivering against.
And so what, to that point, what can we expect next, James? I mean, where does it begin to go now?
Well, Dan was talking earlier about, you know, the first step we took was really taking a point of view in the category and going, it matters where you stay, because people have stopped thinking it does. And so perhaps like that point of view now just becomes broader, a bit softer. I think in other parts of our marketing mix, we're going to be leaning harder into this lovely thought that Conrad Hilton put out into the world, which is about pure hospitality and what that means. I don't think we'll walk away from our point of view by any means, but I think you're going to see it evolve in ways that give it richness and texture. And I think we're going to start pushing even harder into those sort of newer channels that we've been working in this year and having quite a lot of success with. You know, we've got a lot of different audiences to talk to. So I think you're going to see us starting to behave quite differently. And I think, and I very much hope that will start to show up in new and fresh ways over time.
We have so much planned. And so what I'm hoping happens next, we have terrific momentum, you know, with our It Matters Where You Stay campaign. We have momentum in the way that we work with some of our sort of global brand ambassadors or folks that are helping us tell the Hilton Stay story. So kind of enabling their voices to tell this story on our behalf to their communities in a way that feels natural to them is an exciting thing to watch and sort of watch blossom and take off. We've been taking the stay to unexpected places or places in real life that, you know, are sort of outside of our hotel. So that's been a fun thing. If you look at what we did last year at Silverstone, which is one of our F1 races that we participate in with our relationship with McLaren, there's a campsite next door to the racetrack where we brought the stay through our sort of room service crew to all of those campers. And so that, you know, people were, you know, excited to eat at minimum a DoubleTree cookie, or all the way up to they were invited to come trackside to the Paddock Club with us and meet the drivers and be part of our Hilton Honors member experience. And so us bringing the stay into other communities in sort of new and unexpected and real life tangible ways is something that I'm so excited about this summer as we think about summer concert season, the race season, sort of what, you know, sort of what drives people to travel as they go into the year. And so more to come.
It is Dan Reynolds. He's SVP Global Content, Media, and Partnerships at Hilton in McLean, Virginia. And it's James Sowden, Chief Strategy Officer at TBWA Chiat Day, New York. Thank you both for this conversation. I'm really excited that we got to do it. Appreciate you both coming.
Thank you, Fergus.
And we will see everyone on the next episode.